ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 श्रुतेना तपसा वाकिम वाचोभिश्चित्त वृत्तिभि बुद्धया वाकिम निपुनया बलनेन्द्रिय राधसा क्लेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद. श्री प्रभुपाद की विदाउट डिवोशनल सर्विस वॉट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ सीवियर ऑस्टेरिटीज द प्रोसेस ऑफ हियरिंग द पावर ऑफ स्पीच द पावर ऑफ मेंटल स्पेकुलेशन एलिवेटेड इंटेलिजेंस स्ट्रेंथ एंड द पावर ऑफ द सेंसेस. परपोर्ट. From the Upanishads we learn, Nayam Atma Pravachena Labhyo, Na Medhaya Na Bhununa Shrutena, Yam Evasha Vrinute Tena Labhyas, Tasyasha Atma Vrinute Tanum Shvam. Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3. Our relationship with the Supreme Lord is never advanced by simple study of the Vedas. There are many Mayavadi sannyasis fully engaged in studying the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads, but unfortunately they cannot grasp the real essence of knowledge. In other words, they do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is the use in studying all Vedas if one cannot grasp the essence of the Vedas, Krishna? The Lord confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshacha Sarver Aham Eva Vedya. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Bhagavad Gita 15.15. There are many religious systems wherein penances and austerities are greatly stressed, but at the end no one understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is therefore no point in such penances, tapasya. If one has actually approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to undergo severe austerities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood through the process of devotional service. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is explained as Rajaguhyam, the king of all confidential knowledge. There are many good reciters of Vedic literatures and they recite works such as Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these professional readers manifest very good scholarship and exhibit word jugglery. Unfortunately, they are never devotees of Supreme Lord. Consequently, they cannot impress upon the audience the real essence of knowledge, Krishna. There are also many thoughtful writers and creative philosophers, but despite all their learning, if they cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are simply useless mental speculators. They are very sharply intelligent people in this material world, and they discover so many things for sense gratification. They also analytically study all the material elements, but despite their expert knowledge and expert scientific analysis of the whole cosmic manifestation, their endeavor are useless because they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as our senses are concerned, there are many animals, both beasts and birds, who are very expert in exercising their senses more keenly than human beings. For example, vultures or hawks can go very high in the sky, but can see a small body on the ground very clearly. This means that their eyesight is so keen that they can find an eatable corpse from a great distance. Certainly, their eyesight is much keener than human beings, but this does not mean that their existence is more important than that of a human being. Similarly, dogs can smell many things from a far distance. Many fish can understand by the power of sound that an enemy is coming. All these examples are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one's senses cannot help one to attain the highest perfection of life, realization of the Supreme, they are all useless. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 11. The chapter is entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas. So, continuing our discussion, here is one of our foremost acharya of our sampradaya, Shri Narad Muniji, speaking to the Prachetas. Now, we have the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which says that Nityananda Prabhu has opened a marketplace of the holy name, Namar Hat. There's a marketplace. Similarly, for those who want to gain some understanding of God, there is a whole marketplace of different sampradayas, different thoughts, schools of thought, which are available for that person. And he can visit and choose. It's like a whole marketplace. As Prabhupada explains here, there are people who are selling different philosophies. But herein, we understand from one of our foremost acharyas, Sri Narad Muni, who is one of the foremost Mahajans also, of what is the speciality of our Gaudiya Sampradaya, or specifically the Bhagavat Marg, or the Bhagavat philosophy. As we understand, right from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Vedavyas was confused. He was not very happy after he composed practically everything that we know about spirituality in the form of Vedas, Upanishads, Itihasas, and everything that we know about. He was still not very happy. And after he spoke this to his Gurudev, Narad Muni, he told that, well, you have addressed everything with this Artha, Karma, Dharma and Moksha, the four Purusharthas. But you have not addressed the highest understanding of God, that is pure devotional service. You have not addressed that. That's why you are not happy. So, after that, Vedavyas composed the Srimad Bhagavatam, which deals with exclusive, pure, loving, devotional service to Sri Krishna. So, herein, Narad Muni, we should be so proud that we are in this sampradaya, he is teaching us that how pure our Bhagavad Marg is. He is saying that what is the use of severe austerities, the process of hearing, power of speech, and many other things is mentioned in this verse, without the presence of devotional service to Sri Krishna. We have three types of devotees, three types of people in the material world. Majority of the people are mundane. They are materialists, just attached to gross sense gratification, leading their life in a most mundane way. A very small portion of the people who have the desire to know something about God, they are called spiritualists. They have some spiritual inclination to find out the higher truths of life. But amongst the spiritualists, they are not the highest. Higher than spiritualists are the transcendentalists. Right? So what we are talking about here is a transcendental realm of spirituality. Even the spirituality is available on different levels. Prabhupada is writing very wonderful in the purport that what is the use of being very erudite scholar and being very expert and being able to recite the different scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita, if you don't have loving devotional service to Sri Krishna. It's simply Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Ekele Ishvara Krishna Ara Sakala Bhritya. That only truth is Krishna and his devotional service. Everything else is simply false. And to whatever extent we are trying to do spirituality, if that does not give us the understanding of loving devotional service to Krishna, according to Bhagavad Dharma, according to Narad Muniji, is simply a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. So you can understand that how rare it is to be a transcendentalist. We know very well that there are unlimited universities in the material world offering various courses. People are doing PhDs in various material sciences. I met one person in the train, and I was reading a book of Srila Prabhupada, and he saw the photograph of the transmigration of the soul from boyhood to youth to old age to disease again. So he was very much attracted to that photograph. He said, "This is very amazing." So he asked me, "What is this?" So I had a discussion. I told them about what Gita says about the body and everything. So I asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I am studying in IIT. IIT Varanasi. VHU, right? IIT, VHU. VHU, right?" So I said, "Oh, very good." I told them that we have many programs going on in IIT. There are many people who are following the process of Krishna consciousness, who are students of IIT. So I asked him I was inquisitive. I asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm already a PhD." He was doctor so and so. "And I'm doing my double PhD." I said, "Oh, very good. But in what?" He told me that I'm doing my PhD in elastic mathematics. So I didn't understand. I said, I know what is mathematics. I know what is elasticity. What is elastic mathematics? But after that, I didn't want to ask him because I'm sure it would have gone completely bumper off me. And he's doing his PhD for the last 3 years. He said, after this, again, he's going to do a third PhD. On one particular aspect of mathematics. So I could understand that the world is filled with so much knowledge. And I could easily relate. Because when I spoke to him more and more, he was so much filled with material data that there was no space for spirituality to enter into his system. It was just going, it was overflowing. There was already so much thing inside. He couldn't understand that how we are not this body. He said, "This is all, I get attracted to this picture, but it is all simply looking good. It doesn't make any sense to me." So then I could relate to how Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his beautiful song, Vidyara Vilase, that how all this material knowledge simply makes one a big donkey. That's all it is. I didn't tell him that, obviously, but I could see that he was nothing but a person carrying huge data, but it is simply Shrama Eva Kevalam because there was no knowledge whatsoever he learned in his all the studies of doing his PhD, the double PhD, and even attains the third PhD. He will not still know, even the iota of understanding he will not have of what is spirituality. So, there are so many universities offering such courses. And very few portion of the people, they are interested in knowing about the Vedas. Very few. Very, very few. If you go to a college, hardly any college in Bombay has, BA in philosophy. Very few, right? Achyut Govind Prabhu, you have tried to find out. Very few colleges. But of that, if you find out who are actually doing philosophy, you will find in the class not more than 10 to 12 people. That's all. Those are the only people who are really interested to know something about philosophy. And of course, what they teach in the philosophy is nothing but, all garbage. That also we have seen the books. So of the people who are interested to know something about the Vedas, there are very, very few who really are really interested to know more details about the Vedas. So here it is. The Vedas are aimed. Vedas is servant. Aham eva Veda. Through the Vedas am I supposed to be known? Krishna says in the Gita. But how many people are really able to know Krishna through the Vedas? We know, it is said that of the marketplace that we spoke about in the beginning, the headquarters of that marketplace is Sri Vrindavan Dham. If you go to Vrindavan, every philosophical school of thought is represented in that place, right? It is important to have a base in Vrindavan to be known as a bona fide, as a particular school of thought offering something to the masses. And there are so many people offering so many things. Every time you go to Vrindavan, there is some big board of a person reciting particular thing. Bhagavatam. Recently we went to Julan Yatra. there was a board. I was surprised. We are used to hearing Bhagavatam, Ramayana. There was one person speaking about Vilap Kusumanjali. This is one of the books by Raghunath Das Goswami, right? Vilap. And I said, there's a Bhagavat, there's a person speaking on such a high level of books like as Vilap Kusumanjali, the bouquet of loving separate, whatever it is called. So there is a people who are speaking on the Goswami literatures. But getting more details about the person, we found out that he himself is unfortunately not able to control his own senses. So what do we conclude from this? That pure devotional service is a very, very rare commodity. And it is only when we have this pure devotional service does Krishna has anything to do with us. And to substantiate this, there's a very beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was a great scholar of the name Devananda Pandit. We know this personality. He had his ashram in Kuliagram. Our Devananda Pandit is a very wonderful person. This is Devananda Pandit from the CC. It is ashram at Kuliagram. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Kuliagram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a habit to stroll around, and while strolling he happened to reach Kuliagram, and he was visiting one of his friends, Maheshwar, what is his name? Maheshwar Visharad. That was his friend. He was visiting him at this place, at Kuliagram. And the ashram of Devananda Pandit was just adjoining the house of Maheshwar Visharad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could hear the recitation of Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a great scholar. He was a lifetime celibate. Very famous. In his ashram, there were people coming from far and wide to take teachings under his guidance. Very, very great scholar. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the recitation of Devananda Pandit, when he heard this, he spoke two very wonderful adjectives about Devananda Pandit. I was very much amused. Only God can do this. He said, just see how foolish this person is and how ignorant is his understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, try to understand, the literature of Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but talking about pure devotional service. But a person has to be also on a level of pure devotional service to able to transmit that understanding to the audience. Now you will say that, well, why are you sitting on the dais, or why do we give Bhagavatam class? Are we on the level? But Prabhupada says very clearly the definition of pure devotee. A person who is on a level of pure divine service, or who is in the process, is also pure devotee in the making. For example, when we talk about a person in first MBBS, he is also called a doctor. Because we know that in due course, he is going to become a doctor. He is doctor in the making. So a person who is strictly, very, very, very honestly, very humbly following the path of pure divine service, is also allowed to speak on Bhagavatam. Because by that speaking, he will purify himself and become a pure devotee himself. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this Devananda Pandit is ignorant, he is a fool, because he has no understanding of Bhagavatam, even though he is speaking of the highest philosophy of Bhagavatam, all his understanding is simply meant, is simply filled with scholarship without any devotion. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't meet him at that time. The second time when he was taking a stroll, few days later, Devananda Pandit was coming in from the front. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him. And when he saw him, he remembered one particular incident which had caused him tremendous pain to his heart. This was even much before he had taken birth in Gaurudesh. This was with his pure devotee Srivas Thakur. Once Srivas Thakur had gone to Kuliagram, and he had hearing that there was a wonderful discussion going on Srimad Bhagavatam, a pure Bhagavat that he was, he got attracted to this place. And he sat in the discourse which was given by Devananda Pandit. He was hearing. Now this is the speciality of a pure devotee. He is Saragrahi. He is a lazy like a swan. So even though Devananda Pandit's understanding of Bhagavad was completely filled with nothing but scholarship and there was not a tinge of pure devotional service, Devananda Srivas Thakur just took the essence of Bhagavatam and by hearing, he went into such ecstatic trance. Now just analyze the situation. A devotee doesn't usually exhibit his ecstasies in public. He tries as much as possible, as hard as possible to restrain his ecstasies. Because he doesn't want to make a cheap, you know, show. People will think it is cheap. But Srivas Thakur must have been in such ecstasy, hearing from the mouth of Devananda Pandit, who was speaking nothing but scholastic knowledge, without a trace of devotion. But he derived such nectar from that also, that he went to complete ecstatic trance, and he couldn't control his ecstasies. And because his disciples thought that this person is causing so much disturbance in my Gurudev speaking, so they took him and they threw him out. And this happened right under the nose of Devananda Pandit. And he didn't speak a word. Meaning which, he supported their act. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered this incident after many years when he saw Devananda Pandit. And he asked him, is it proper for you to allow your disciples to take one of a pure devotee who is relishing the highest loving relationship between Radha and Krishna? Is it proper for you to allow this to happen, that is, your disciples throw this person out? Devananda Pandit, he heard it. He didn't speak a word. He just walked. And later on, after some time, Devananda Pandit's heart was, he was feeling something is not right with him. After a few years, Vrakeshwar Pandit had come to Kulyagram to meet his friend Madhav Das, and they were doing kirtan, and Vrakeshwar Pandit was showing such signs of ecstasy while doing kirtan that there were a whole crowd of people surrounding him. Devananda Pandit got attracted to the dancing of Vrakeshwar Pandit. And with a stick, he was just putting all the people away so that Vrakeshwar Pandit could dance properly without any disturbance. And he allowed this dance to happen, which went on for practically 6 hours. So he rendered some service to Vrakeshwar Pandit. And because he rendered service, his heart became soft and he got attracted to associate with Vrakeshwar Pandit. And he became very close friends with Vrakeshwar Pandit. So number one, he did devotional service. He became friends with Vrakeshwar Pandit. He associated with a pure devotee. What's the result? The fourth part of the story. The first part we discussed is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you are foolish, ignorant rascal. The second part, again he met him and he said that, was it worth? He reminded him of the incident that he had allowed to happen. The third part of the story, where he did some service to Vrakeshwar Pandit and became close to him. And the fourth part, which gives the resultant reaction or resultant outcome of the whole thing, sums up the whole thing. At Kulyagram, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was delivering all the people, he called out for Devananda Pandit. He said, I'm very happy with you. Now try to understand, the same person, few years back, he said, you are ignorance, foolish, rascal. The same person is calling Devananda Pandit and said, come, I am very happy with you. I want to give you pure devotional service. And Devananda Pandit was granted with pure devotional service under the feet of Radha and Krishna by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is this? Why was in the first place Devananda Pandit, even though Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was Namo Mahavadanyaya, he is the most munificent incarnation, he wanted to give love of God to everyone and anyone he met. But Devananda Pandit couldn't attract that aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but all he could attract was the wrath of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Devananda Pandit would have been really been a very nasty person, that Even though Mahaprabhu Chaitanya was such a munificent incarnation, all he could attract of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not his love, but his wrath. But what brought about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give his love to him? Two things. Devotion, service to the devotees, and associating with the devotees. His heart was completely transformed. So this is how bhakti is infused in a person's heart. And this is what Bhagavat philosophy is all about. This is what Narad Muni is talking about. Till the time we can do so many things, we can be attracting crowds of people. And practically, I met one disciple of one of the Bhagavad reciters. And you know, he is a very devout follower of this person. Practically for years he has been following this Bhagavad reciter. So I went to him and you know, for some Janmashtami donation. So we have to, you know, tolerate them speaking because we need some Lakshmi for Radha Gopinath's service. So he was speaking. You know, my Gurudev, when he speaks on Ram, he becomes green. So, when he speaks of Krishna, he becomes black. So, so his understanding of a person's greatness is simply change of colors. I don't know whether that really happens. I was going to tell him. I said even lizards change colors. They expert in, you know, when they have expert power of camouflaging. When they in a particular environment they change, you cannot realize where they are there. But that doesn't make them worshipable. You don't worship lizards. Worshipping lizards in a mode of ignorance. I didn't tell him that because he would not give me funds. But I was thinking of what is the level of person getting impressed by spirituality. Just external show of some change of colors, that's all impresses him. He's not speaking about what he speaks. He's not speaking about his heart, whether it is getting changed or not. I told him, I was telling him that, I don't know, your guru becomes green and black, but I'm becoming red of anger. But because that's unfortunate. There's one, we went to Julan Yatra, and there are flocks of people, you know, at Julan Yatra it is famous, there's a lot of kathas going on. There was a tiny child, there was a child of 11 years, who was speaking Bhagavat. Of course, I cannot comment upon, you know, what is his level of speech, but, you know, people get attracted, everybody was talking, are you 11 saal ka bachcha bol raha hai Bhagavat. Not what he's speaking, but just because 11-year boy is speaking, people get attracted. They're not talking about what he's speaking, what is the substance of his speech. That is the unfortunate situation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by his example how he is simply attracted to pure devotional service. Even when he met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? He was Brihaspati, right? Brihaspati? Brihaspati means the guru of the demigods. What scholarship would that person have? He was such a scholarly person. But he somehow or the other got attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he saw him, you know, fainting in front of Lord Jagannath. He felt compassionate for him. Now see, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is the incarnation of compassion, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya felt compassion for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he's such a young sannyasi, so beautiful. If I don't train him in proper understanding of Vedas, how will he maintain his sannyas? So took him to his home and brought him back to external consciousness and instructed him for 6 days and six nights about his understanding of Vedanta Sutra and spirituality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simply listening patiently. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, after 6 days, said, I don't understand this. I have been telling you for last 6 days and six nights. I've been talking about, we have not asked a simple question. You are not even given any reaction to what I said. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said very simple line, which is a wonderful understanding. Which gives us how scholarship is useless without devotion. He said, your understanding, he said that the understanding of Vedas is as bright as a full, you know, as sunshine, and noon sunshine, right? That's what he said. But your understanding of what you have given it to me is like a thick cloud which is completely covering the whole understanding, and I am not able to understand anything. And Sri Bhattacharya was shocked. I said, really? And then of course we know in due course of Sri Bhattacharya was, he became so against the word mukti. He became so convinced that this, what I have done all my life is simply such a shrama eva hi kevalam, is such a useless waste of time, that even the word mukti would give him, would make him very jittery. And he was about to scrape off the mukti pade, is useless. No mukti. Bhakti pade. Only bhakti. He became so much averse to the word mukti. To that extent, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya infused devotion in him. He became completely averse to the word mukti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, the real mukti is bhakti. Then he made him understand. The real mukti is bhakti. So don't worry, you can't change scriptures. We also know of Prakashananda Saraswati. The next verse speaks about the same. That you, but just by even taking sannyas, you can't get devotion. Prakashananda Saraswati, can you imagine 60,000 sannyasi disciples? Now, not ordinary, mundane. I know if you go to Rath Yatra, there's a particular organization who have 60,000 people in Rath Yatra. They talk, but what is the quality? They hired people. They hired 100 rupees per day, come, chant something, and go back. Wear a particular dress and come. That's the type of followers they have. But Prakashananda Saraswati had full-fledged, dedicated, sold-out slaves as sannyasis, as his disciples, 60,000 people. This was the biggest conversion Mahaprabhu Chaitanya ever did in his life. One shot, 60,000 people got converted. How? Because he infused in them pure devotional service. That is why Mahaprabhu Chaitanya has come to give. Anarpita charim chirat karuna avati nakro samapan unna chojala rasam sa bhaktim shriya. Anarpita, something which is never ever given ever by anybody. Anarpita. The pure mellow of devotional service. The mellow of divine love. This is what Bhagavad is teaching. But can you imagine the unfortunate situation of the society? Where people, they talk about Gita, but they don't believe in Krishna. Can you possibly imagine the type of word generally that would be happening where a person speaks on the Gita but doesn't believe in Krishna at all? I met a one student yesterday, just yesterday, and he was a Christian, and he said, I have done 3 years of rigorous study in Christianity. Of Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, everything. I said, I'm very impressed. The very few people, in my mind I was thinking, very few people really, do they have a desire. I was discussing, and then he said, actually, I really don't believe whether Bible really exists. I'm not joking, I'm serious. I said, I really don't believe whether Gita exists. I said, fine, you don't believe in Gita, but do you believe in Bible? I said, I don't really believe Bible exists. Because, it is written by it is written by some person. I really do not know who has written it. Tomorrow I write a book, and after a few thousand years, if that becomes scripture, is that bona fide? I might write anything. So 3 years of rigorous study in one of the very famous, whatever that school of Christianity is in at Malad, where I myself studied. I know that there are many, many people doing the studies. But the outcome is, he doesn't even believe that Bible exists. And we have heard of many examples, of people who don't even, who have pakka, externally speaking, devotees, externally speaking, great. For years they've been following spirituality, but they don't really believe what they do. Why is this happening? Because they have lost the real point. What's the real purpose of being a devotee? Is a devotional service. That is what. So Narad Muni, we should be so proud. I was feeling so proud that this is, we are following a philosophy which is so pure. It doesn't even tolerate somebody who is speaking on Bhagavatam who doesn't speak about pure devotional service. Bhagavatam is the highest, but even the person who doesn't speak about devotional service, that is kicked out. This is the glory of our sampradaya. And how do we achieve this? Not simply by hearing. By the example of Devanand Pandit, we can understand. By rendering a loving devotional service to the Lord and His devotees, and by associating with the devotees. Another aspect also, which needs to be discussed, that even if we are rendering pure devotional service, following the Bhagavat Marg, associating with the devotees, but in due course, if name, fame, adoration and distinction becomes the purpose of our devotional service, and then also, whatever devotion we do is Shrama Evahi Kevalam. We might be chanting 16 rounds, 64 rounds. We might be following strict celibacy. We might be, as Grihasthas, we might be giving big charity. We might be able to speak in a very, very, with many, many slokas, and we might be able to impress many, many people. That is very good. But if the underlying purpose of all this is not loving devotional service to Krishna, if we don't have the humility of the heart, then also, whatever we are doing is shrama eva hi kevalam. It's not only use a waste of time, but it will be actually a deterrent. It will become become the source of us getting into maya. It is like this, that we are performing devotional service. Why? So that we can tolerate the onslaughts of maya. We chant Hare Krishna because it's like ammunition. We can shoot at maya whenever we are face to face with her. But what does maya do? Maya is very intelligent. She is as intelligent as Krishna. She does a very simple thing. You have a gun which you are shooting with her. She twists the gun and makes it like this. Can you imagine? You have a gun which is pointing towards you. You get shot. And how does this happen? When we are dancing kirtan, not for dancing, but for some cheap adoration. Dancing is a process of purification. When we dance for the pleasure of the Lord, we get purified by that, right? But the same dancing, if done for some other purpose than for the pleasure of the Lord, then that becomes a source of your entanglement and becomes a source of your getting shot by maya themselves. And you next time person say, oh, you dance so beautifully. I was just recently hearing a lecture by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, wherein he was describing the art of dressing the deities. Just today, you know, by Krishna's mercy, I got a chance to dress. I was thinking that, and he was talking that when we dress the deities, it is such a purifying activity. Here you are getting a chance to dress Shakshat Bhagwan. When people, the tailors and the dressers of film stars, they say, well, I dress Amitabh Bachchan every time he goes for a movie. He feels very proud, and I saw him in a card. He's a wig maker of Amitabh Bachchan. That is his vision card, that is his identity. He makes wigs. Of course, this guy has hair, but if he doesn't need the hair which he has, but some other type of hair, he makes wigs for, specifically written, wig maker for so and so. So he feels so proud that I am dressing up so and so person. Now here, we are getting a chance to dress Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratima nahi tumi shakshat Vrajendra Nandana. This is not Pratima, this is Sakshat Vrajendra Nandana. You are getting to dress. What a special opportunity. But when we dress the deities, first time we are dressing it as Vrajendra Nandan. Second time we are dressing as Vrajendra Nandan and something else. Because the first time we are dressed, so beautifully you are dressed. That's what Radhanath Maharaj was explaining. So you are dressed the deities so nicely. That thought has gone into you. And unless and until you are careful, people should appreciate. And you have to tolerate appreciation. But unless until you are careful, this appreciation enters into you. And then it leads to, in due course, has explained that we are nothing but dressing our false ego. How beautifully you are tied pagadi to your false ego. That's what it is. Nobody has ever tied the way you are tied. The pagadi. To whom? To a false ego. Unfortunate. Unfortunate. That is what it is. So, that is why it is said it is like a razor's edge. But devotion to Krishna is like a razor's edge. There's only one point. When you want to balance something, it'll tell you there's only one point where it gets balanced. There's no two points. Right? Similarly, you can balance Krishna consciousness. There's only one point of balancing. There's only one point where you can execute Krishna consciousness. There's no second point. That's why this razor's edge means it's very, very fine. It is only this and nothing else. So we have to be very, very careful. It is everyday struggle. Fight against. Because at any point of time, we might get diverted from pure divine service and get attached to the pratishtha or the lab or whatever comes as a byproduct of devotional service. It comes, right? I was thinking that who would ever, and if I was a karmi, who would ever want me to speak on a dais? I was ordinary person, not even very good in my academic studies. I was so scared. I personally was so scared when I was a young child that when a phone would ring, I would run away. But I was so scared to speak on the phone also. Because I was so nervous when phone, I would run away from my house. Because I didn't hear it. I would run away. But here, because of the power of Guru, by power of Prabhupada, we are getting to speak to hundred people, 200 people. Somebody who is not even qualified to even, I never ever in my life went to a theater. And here there are 700, 800 people waiting in line to buy tickets to see your drama. Right? But why is this happening? The moment we think that we are the doers, we are finished. Because if you are the doers, then you know you would not be sitting here, because as I understand for myself, I would never be what I am. Nobody would ever want to bother to listen to me. I was not a good speaker. I am still not a good speaker. But somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru, we are allowed to sit here. We have to always remember this wonderful thing which I told in last time in Bhagavatam class. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he was Ghanshyam Prabhu, he told Bhakti Vishwa Madhav Maharaj, 1970, maybe I don't remember the year. Bhakti Vishwa Madhav Maharaj had a habit, Mahamantra Prabhu at that time, had a habit that he would get up much earlier and chant all the 16 rounds before Mangala Arati. That was part of his resolution. Once he got up in one center, he had gone, he got up and he saw somebody already chanting. He said, who is this person who is already awake much earlier than me and already chanting? That means he finished his morning duties. He went out and he saw it was Ghanshyam Prabhu, our Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. And he asked him, "Sir Maharaj, you are already chanting. How many? I was so impressed." And the statement which Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj made is revolutionary, is very important, that we all need to understand. He said, "I have got this black body. I have got a fallen birth. If I simply execute ordinary principle of devotional service, I will not achieve Krishna. I have to do something extra in order to attract the mercy of Krishna, because I have got a fallen birth. You have got a comparatively better birth. You don't need to do anything extra." Bhakti Vishwa Madhav Maharaj, to this day, this statement is imprinted in his heart. And when he told me, it is imprinted in my heart. That we should always be conscious about the fallen birth that we all have. Kalo Shudra Sambhave. There's no question of being proud about anything. Because we have a fallen birth. What were we when we were, before we came to Krishna consciousness? If we think of that, we can understand, we have no reason to be proud about. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he spoke, to this day, when Bhakti Vishwa Madhav Maharaj said that, he was telling me, he said, "You have got an Indian body. But I have got an American body. So I have to do much more extra than you." Then I told Maharaj, "I have got an Indian body, but I have got much more unearthed than you." So we are discussing. So basically, whether Indian body or black body or American body or Australian body, whatever body, the body, it's the fact that we have got a body means we have fallen. Otherwise, we have not got this body. The body is awarded because we are fallen people. So always being conscious about our fallen condition is a very important meditation that we all need to do in order to really maintain our sanity in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we'll become insane. So along with, you know, the refutation of all the professional reciters and the people who are attached to tapasya and everything, Bhagavad kicks out. But it also kicks out all the thoughts or all the desires that we have, which are derived, which are caused by performing devotional service. The weeds, as we say, which grow along with performing devotional service. So we have to be careful about that. This is what our philosophy is offering us. Unmotivated, unalloyed, very important word, unalloyed. No alloys, no mixture. Pure, absolute 100%, not 99.99%. 100% pure devotion to Krishna. That is what we are attached to. That is what Bhagavad philosophy, Bhagavad gives us. That is what Narad Muni, our foremost Acharya, is offering to us through the Prachetas, through these words. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or any comments, any person wants to add, my Siksha Guru Govind Prabhu and all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Pure devotional service ki.